In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
John, excellent accuracy, not bad for an old guy.
You've let me do this now for three shows in a row, Stan, and I've three for three, three boat for down, three. Beagle sunk. Scoreboard.
Scoreboard.
I'm John Kerlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another one of these silly episodes of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because that's the best way to go. It's the most fun. But they are serious at times, and so sometimes you have to sound very academic and professional. Well, though we'd rather laugh a lot, like we will today.
Well, we will today, Dr. John, as we look at a serious topic of When God throws rocks.
Oh, ouch, ouch, duck, incoming.
Whole new meaning. Exactly, the origin of incoming.
The Orion Express. Whoa. Actually, it depends if you're a theistic evolutionist, yes. Actually, or if you're an evolutionist and didn't really believe in it. But if, say, a theistic evolutionist.
Or atheistic, yes.
Yes, might come to that conclusion because they believe at some time in Earth's past history, these big, gigantic rocks called asteroids mm-hmm. smashed into the Earth and mm-hmm. caused great extinctions, such as about 66 million years ago, they think the dinosaurs went extinct when an asteroid came and snuffed them out.
It took them out of the picture, although it left a whole lot of other critters, supposedly, but there went the dinosaurs. But we've had others as well.
Struck out.
Yeah, we've had other extinctions that perhaps at least two of them now, they say, are asteroid-caused.
Yes, and the prior one that they think they've discovered was mm-hmm. actually a long, long time ago.
Yes.
Now, we just want to make a point. There are mass records of extinction in
yes.
the Bible. I mean, where all of a sudden you have a layer and things are gone in the geologic column.
Yes.
We explain it differently, but they think they happened over billions of years or millions of years anyway.
We kind of think the fact that virtually all fossils, all evidences of pre-existing living matter have been embedded in sedimentary rock is a fairly good evidence that there may have been water involved.
Yes, there could be water involved.
Kind of a
that
good evidence.
Good evidence. But anyway, they want to go on and say, well, no. This was this massive extinction happened 251 million years ago, not 250, 251 million years ago.
Precise.
Yes. When 90% of all life was made extinct by an asteroid that smashed into Antarctica, or at least they found fragments of it in the Antarctica. They had to go way down to dig up this one.
Well, down? Oh, yes, down under, as in not
down
13
under.
Miles under
no,
the
no,
crust
no.
as we did the Jupiter thing a few
no.
weeks ago. Okay, no, yes, and these little bits of graphite, which is a rock form of carbon, non-biological carbon, that is kind of broken up and found in pieces scattered across the Antarctic ice. And now,
ooh.
Here's the thing. They think that these bits of rock are part of this asteroid that fell a quarter of a billion years ago. That's a long time,
that's
even in geologic time.
Ooh, that's old, real old Permian-Triassic event.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And supposedly was something that killed, like you said, 9 out of 10 types of critters and plant life and so forth, including a fern.
A fern.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Glossopteris. That's a hard one
try
to
that
say
again.
That.
Back up.
Glossopteris.
Glossopteris.
He got hit right in the old Glossopteris. Oh!
That
ooh,
hurts.
That hurts when you get hit in the old Glossopteris.
Now, that was the most dominant plant at the time, and it was not found above that. That layer and the layer where they found the little bits of graphite and so forth.
Well, if we want to quote Dr. Basu, who reports yes. this, says, that was the last blooming plant, last blooming of that plant. After that, it was gone forever from the planet.
Gone forever, not found in layers above. And so there's no question, John, that animals and, yes, plant life, different kinds of species have been found to be extinct. They don't make it above certain levels in the geologic column. And, of course, as creationists and the people that tend to believe the biblical account of the flood in Genesis 6 through 9, we think that those animals and those plants were covered up by the waters of the flood.
And they also think that when this giant, and contrary though, they like to think that no, it was caused by this asteroid. Yeah. And when this huge fireball hit, billions of tons of dust would just choke out the atmosphere, darken the sun for months on end, they would have figured out. And they're just getting some of these samples of this meteorite, or whatever you want to call it, asteroid. And they're basing it on finding this. And what they've done is they've taken the leap saying this came from outer space.
Yes.
And by our dating methods, and we've talked about some of the questionableness of long age dating period based on some new C-14 evidence a few months back.
Right.
But having said all that, by our evidence, it was 251 million years ago, which just fits real nicely into our little neat column thing of this Permian-Triassic event.
Even though researchers have looked at the rocks and said, you know, they look pretty fresh for a quarter of a billion years.
You mean that roadkill hasn't been ripe too long, huh?
Even rocks tend to get a little, you know, who knows what their secret is. My goodness, dear, you took 200 million years off of your looks. How did you do that?
Shock quartz.
Shock quartz. A reference to shock quartz. And they have found the evidence of quartz that's been shocked by an impact. And you know, John, when we think about rocks from outer space, I don't want us to give our listeners a wrong impression that we don't think asteroids and meteors have indeed hit this Earth.
They have.
We've got evidences of that. And if you look at the moon, even, you can see lots of evidences of meteor
getting beat up pretty big.
Pretty big. Somebody's been throwing rocks.
Someone's been throwing rocks.
And rocks have come across the universe, and well, certainly in the asteroid belt that's between Jupiter and Mars, there's plenty of rocks floating around in there, and many of them do kind of come over towards us.
Get nudged or bumped because of other collisions within that belt.
And you know, what we see in the evening skies, the meteors, the falling stars. Well, I saw a big bright one.
The Leonid meteor showers were just this last November, not too long ago.
Just November. And I saw a really fabulous falling star here a few weeks ago, just driving here in Spokane. Just a beautiful
thing.
They do
come
crashing
through.
It seemed to fall apart and break and you know, kind of almost explode at the end of it, and it was really interesting to watch. So rocks come from outer space,
and they do hit.
And you know, there is a chance. I don't personally feel, in my scenario for the flood, I don't think that it precludes the idea that God may have used an asteroid or meteor or two
as part in motion,
perhaps to break up the crust of the earth, because we know the earth of the crust of the earth was broken apart. Certainly,
the fountains
by
the deep were released and
they
stuff.
Were released,
so
and blew into the air.
Could have been used.
Could have been.
Don't know.
That God does use asteroids or something like that is interesting from one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Daniel. In fact, I like the book so well, I named my son after Daniel. There is an interesting dream that the king of Babylon has. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream he can't remember, and then, you know, he summons the people to try to help him.
All the wise guys.
And Daniel was one of the wise guys. And he came in, and he, because God revealed the dream to him, shared it with King Nebuchadnezzar and told him, among other things, that he saw a large statue that represented a succession of kingdoms on earth.
Kind of like a little precious metal geologic column. Gold, silver, brass.
A chronologic column.
Cool. In precious metals down to iron, then finally iron and clay.
Iron and clay,
which represent the age we live in, would be one of the
modern
interpretations
and so
of that.
But as you're looking at it, he was watching it, and all of a sudden a rock comes out of nowhere.
Out from outer space, and just smashes that image representing the kingdoms of this world. And what happens when that rock smashes the image? God raises up his kingdom from that rock he threw.
That's right. It says that then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. He goes on to say a little later that that represents God's eternal kingdom. So, and it's interesting that this great stone cut out without human hands that struck or destroyed the nations of the earth, it kind of sounds a little bit like an asteroid falling from heaven and doing some destruction. It's a thought. You know, you almost wonder if maybe God's a weapon of preference for Judgment Day tends to be
a big rock.
Fire and brimstone, hailstones from you know, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They certainly had some rocks thrown their way.
But it's interesting that when you, as soon as they find one of these rocks, they all of a sudden want to date it and they want to confine it to a certain age and say, here's great evidence for evolution.
Right.
Here's great evidence for our story, not the Bible story.
Right.
Most people will see that and they'll come believing in asteroids and believe in that whole theory more and more. Mm-hmm. And yet there's credible scientists. There's a Jeffrey Grossman, a researcher from the U.S. Geologic Survey, who says, like you say, it was incredibly fresh asteroid. We don't know if it's really that one that should date there. And another one said, it's unlike the debris it's on other impact ejecta. It's different, he says. But to say that it was linked conclusively to the Permian-Triassic extension, not really. We need to go back and test that hypothesis. In other words, if you'll just send me $10 billion or $20 billion, I'll go test that hypothesis and see if this guy's right.
Let's see if we can shock some quartz.
out of your pockets and retest this. Mm-hmm. When really, we find that if you look at, like we say, where the information was laid, where the information was found and how you evaluate it, what your a priori or biases are. If you believe in a flood, it points to it.
Yes.
If you don't want to believe in a flood,
it would point that way,
too. It'd point the other way, too. And it's interesting that, if you think about it, though, like if you think of Antarctica and you think of all the weather down there and the glaciation, everything else, one of the things that has all these scientists wondering is, wait a minute, if you start studying all the known rates, there shouldn't be any of this meteor left, period, down there.
Right, exactly. Since when was the last time you saw a 250 million year old rock laying on top of something and still there after a quarter of a billion years?
Yeah, it's kind of, it would have to have been buried, very protected, and then never glaciated off, never vulcanized,
beat to a pulp by the wind and
erosion.
And
if you throw in other various sciences that may deal with continental drift or other things that people might want to throw in, whether or not it's true or not.
Yes.
The whole point is that this stuff is so speculative, it takes incredible faith to believe that that's exactly what it is, just because you've measured a few little grains of dirt.
Well, John, you and I know that in the world of evolution, those who believe in material evolution, faith is not a rare commodity. It is something that is regularly exercised.
They have loads of it
loads of
faith. They ask for the listener to have faith in their story of that rock. And I tell you, if the rocks cry out, these rocks are crying in multiple languages, and the several scientists are all saying, no, it says this, no, it says this. Well, who can interpret the rocks right?
Mm-hmm.
We believe the Bible tells the best story of the rocks.
The Bible is the interpreter of the history of this planet, and whenever you take the Bible seriously, it's amazing how the data, the evidence, tends to support it. If you put that pair of glasses on, and John, it is a bias, it is a tendency to look at data through a certain worldview. If you have that pair of glasses on your noggin, you are going to see plenty of scientific evidence to support the biblical account.
And it fits. The evidence seems to also,
rocks.
Including rocks. Mm-hmm. If it's the rock evidence, if it's the plant extinction evidence, the dinosaur extinction evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that, and one day the Bible says that rock is going to come and it's going to be the human extinction, the unbeliever extinction evidence.
That rock.
And that's the rock that we most fear, is the one that can take people who don't want to believe away, because God doesn't enjoy throwing rocks. In that respect.
Absolutely. In fact, we need to remember that Jesus is spoken of as a rock himself. He is the rock, the rock of ages.
The one you can trust on, not the one.
The one that we need to be broken upon instead of letting him break on us. We need to be submissive and humble ourselves before him.
We want to invite you, listener, to experience and have that. So tune in again, and hopefully that will be your experience too, to another episode of
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.